Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal. Dr. Teal, has the Bible escaped the political push for gender-absent nouns and pronouns?
Sadly, no. Until relatively recently, various biblical writers and theologians believed that the Father was and is God. However, certain Protestants and others want to shy away from words like Father, and various moderns consider words like that to be male bias. There's even a small movement among some Roman Catholics that disapprove of biblically gendered language, such as Father.
Well, why couldn't it be labeled sexist to call God Father? What does the Bible have to say?
Because we're supposed to listen to the Word of God, but let's start off with a passage from the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, this is from the New King James, it says, "The son honors his father, and the servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? Clearly God wants to be honored as Father." Mm-hmm. Now, if we go into the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 63, verse 16, it says, "Doubtless you are our Father." Then continuing later, and it says, "O Lord, you are our Father, our Redeemer. Everlasting is your name." And in the next chapter, in Isaiah 64, verse 8, it says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are our potter. We are the work of your hands." As the work of God's hands, we're supposed to believe and do what he wants. So God is the Father. And by the way, the prophet Jeremiah also confirmed that. And sometimes the Father is called Ancient of Days in the Old Testament. But again, the term Father is being used.
Do you have any New Testament verses that support God as Father?
Yes. Well, the writers in the New Testament use the term Father for God a couple hundred times. Let's start off with some words of Jesus. In John chapter 4, starting in verse 23, Jesus said, "The hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." In truth, remember, the New Testament calls God the Father. Mm-hmm. "For the Father is seeking such to worship him." Those who worship him in the Father in truth. "God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." And I'd like to say that one of the things that Jesus came to do was to reveal the Father. I'm going to read John 7, verses 25 to 26, the New Living Translation, which makes that clearer. "O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I've revealed you to them. I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I'll be in them." Now, in John chapter 10, this Father issue became pretty important. Mm-hmm. Starting in verse 31, we see that the Jews took up stones to stone Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "Many good works I've shown you from my Father. For which of these do you stone me?" They said, "Not for any of these good works you've done, but you make yourself God." And Jesus answered, said, "Isn't it written in your law, you are gods?" He says, "He called them gods to whom the word of God came, the scripture cannot be broken. You say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I'm the Son," which is another gendered word, "of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you don't believe me, believe the works that you know that they know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." So Jesus is clearly talking about the Father. And when Jesus was asked, how should we pray? Matthew 6, verse 9, he said, "In this manner, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." So mm-hmm. God is supposed to be addressed as Father. The Apostle Paul wrote about God being Father on many occasions, such as Romans 1, 7. James wrote, James 1, verse 27, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble to keep himself unspotted from the world." You don't want to be spotted by the world, doesn't want to call God the Father. The Apostle Peter, 1 Peter 1, 3, for example, called God the Father. And the Apostle John, 2 John 3, also called God the Father. And I'm going to read first verse from Jude. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by the God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. So we see that the first century writers of the New Testament acknowledged the Father as God.
So we see the writers of the Bible referred to God as the Father. Do we have any writings from early post-New Testament Christians on this topic?
Yes. For example, something that's been called the oldest complete Christian sermon that survived, and some people call it Second Clement. This was probably written within a year or so of the death of the Apostle John.
Okay.
It says, "So then, brothers, if we do the will of God our Father." So that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
And then there was Polycarp of Smyrna, who was appointed to be a bishop overseer by the Apostle John. He wrote in the mid-second century, "But may the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ himself, who is the Son of God, build you up in faith and truth." Then we keep finding Father and truth mentioned here.
Mm-hmm.
"Meekness and purity. May he bestow on you a portion among the saints who shall believe in our Lord and God Jesus Christ and in his Father who raised him from the dead." Also pretty clear. Now, a successor of Polycarp, who's called Melito from Sardis, in the late second century, he wrote, "No eye can see him, nor thought apprehend him, nor language describe him. And those who love him speak of him thus, God and Father of truth." So you can't call him the Father, according to Melito. You don't love him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus clearly taught that God was the Father. And as a matter of fact, he called him the Heavenly Father in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. And he also called him the Heavenly Father in Matthew 6, verse 14. Now, the Bible also teaches about honoring your father. In the Old Testament, for example, the fifth commandment out of Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you." If human fathers had been honored, and as it also says in Malachi, how much more your heavenly Father?
So those verses make it clear that God is referred to as Father. So where does the disagreement come from?
Certain moderns hold that their ideas of rights and equality are above Scripture. Yet the male gender of the Godhead is clear from the Bible, both the Old and New Testaments. Yet there are certain Protestants, for example, who want to move away from this. Let me read you a headline. "The United Church of Christ goes father-free in updated bylaws." One of their spokesmen said, "We're still a Trinitarian denomination. We no longer use exclusively male language to refer to God, and we haven't for a long time." And this is board passed a resolution that says, for example, it replaces Heavenly Father, a term Jesus used for God, with triune God. Now, the term triune is not in the Bible. This idea of a triune God is not in the Bible. But instead of following, and they're called United Church of Christ. They're claiming to be Christian.
Mm-hmm.
They won't do what Jesus said, the Heavenly Father. They know that we don't use that. And one of their other spokespersons said, "It could be Father or Mother or Creator God. Our language reflects the God of all." The Bible is written in languages that are very clear that God is the Father.
So the United Church of Christ denomination committed itself to using inclusive imagery for God rather than the Word of God itself. Does the Bible address this?
Yes. During Jesus' time, people had their own ideas too. And Jesus said, for example, talked about the Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 5, "But all their works they do to be seen by men." That's what the gospel records. And that's what these people are doing to get people happy. with their new traditions, if you want to call it. In Matthew 15, verse 3, Jesus said, why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? In verse 9 of that same chapter, he said, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And Jesus in John 17, verse 17, talked about sanctifying the true Christians. And he prayed the Father to sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And we're set apart by the word of God, which, for example, says God is the Father. Mm-hmm. So these new politically correct traditions are in violation of Scripture. Now, sadly, the United Church of Christ isn't the only Protestant group that holds such positions, but just one of many, and more are compromising on this kind of point. Despite the rallying cry of sola scriptura, of Protestants often ignore what the Bible teaches, and we actually have a free book for Protestants called Hope of Salvation that people can get free and read online at ccog.org.
Many Protestants have slipped into inclusive imagery over the Word of God. What about the Roman Catholics?
Well, there's a fringe group, I'm going to call them.
Okay.
Roman Catholic women and priests, they came up with a translation called the Inclusive New Testament. And it ignores the literal Greek, but it feels there is a gender bias. Here's some things about it. Son of man becomes chosen one or promised one. Lord becomes sovereign or savior. And Jesus' frequent references to the Father become Abba God. They don't like things like the harlot of Babylon. And they just want to say it's a source of idolatry. It says the intention of the priest for equality was to make the inclusive New Testament truly inclusive by focusing on those whose society is marginalized. Women, ethnic and racial minorities, lesbians and gay people, and those typecast in terms of their affliction. That's wrong, but many don't care for the truth. As far as Abba God, now, Abba is the Aramaic word for father, but most people don't think of Abba that way. Actually, more people are more inclined to think of Abba as that a famous Swedish band which had two men and two women. Now, that said, Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 9, do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven.
So since the Roman Catholics have also chosen inclusive imagery over the Word of God, what do they now call Roman Catholic priests?
They call them Father, despite the Bible says not to do this, although there's some priests who don't want to call God the Father. In terms of the Catholics, we also have a book about the beliefs of the original Catholic Church, also available at ccog.org.
Calling the priest Father, wouldn't that seem to be somewhat hypocritical?
Yes, but the Apostle Peter warned in 2 Peter 3:16 that untaught and unstable people twist scriptures to their own destruction. But even taught people, like Roman Catholic priests are very educated and various other educated Protestants, who twisted the scriptures and don't want to believe what it says. The fact is that the Old Testament and New Testament teaches the Father is God. That's the plain truth of the matter. It's only by intentionally twisting and ignoring what the Bible says that you get rid of that. Now, it's clear. Jesus called the Father the Heavenly Father, but told people how to pray. He said to pray to God as our Father. Some people claiming to be Christians want to drop this. But the reality is early Christians taught this. Bible teaches it. Bible clearly calls Jesus the Son of God and God his Father. So we should not be dissuaded by those who don't truly believe the Word of God and have their own ways of twisting Scripture.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.